Coming up. All right, we're on.
Wow, we're live.
Look
we're
at that.
We're live with a whole new edition of the Mahoning Movement Show here in Youngstown Studios in sunny Youngstown,
it's not sunny,
Ohio.
Not sunny at all. Pull that mic up on you.
Sure. Test 1, 2.
I haven't seen you in a little while, man. How
yeah.
are you doing? What's up to?
Well, working on the building, working on YSU stuff. Oh, I don't know if I told you before, but now I'm serving as a graduate student representative at YSU. So that's a whole nother, you know, I hate going to meetings, but that's a whole nother meeting to go to, but they're good kids involved with that.
If any of those of you who are counting at home, this is like 17 responsibilities that Jacob has now yeah. as an adult.
Yeah. Well, adult's a strong word, but yeah, I try, you know, but yeah, no, things are going good up good. There. Another fun day to put in your calendars right at the end of April. We're going to be doing an exhibit up at the Mogg Library in the archives. So like the April 28th, 29th, we're still nailing down the exact day for like a opening, but up on the fifth floor of the Mogg Library, they have the archives, which I hate to say, but haven't spent as much time as I should have in there so far. I spent a lot of time at the Steel Museum archives and the Mahoning Valley Historical Society archives down here, but I hadn't really been up there since an undergraduate at YSU, so I definitely need to catch up
so
more.
So as a history person, you kind of get lost in spaces like that where you just go and get drawn into the
oh yeah
the old
you
stuff.
Start looking at stuff yeah. and then I can't help but like reading everything, and so I'm like, you know, when was that, it was November, I went to the Western Reserve Historical Society archives up in Cleveland, and they have a lot of canal stuff. Oh, and then more recently I went to Akron. They have the special archives, what they call it, special collections and archives, which is really cool. It's in downtown Akron. So you got Akron University up the hill, kind of like similar to YSU in Youngstown. You got Akron University a little bit up the hill, and then as you get down closer to the canal, which they have preserved their canal history there. You know, you got Lock 3 there where they do shows. And we used to do the Burger Festival when they had a couple years ago with the Martini Brothers, where we had set up for the Burger Festival. But downtown Akron is cool. So that main drag there, you have the Pulaski Building. I think that's what they call it. But it's an old store, which, you know, we have our affinity for those old-timey stores down here with McKelvey's and with the Crest. And, of course, the Knox Building being Woolworth for most of its history. So this is a big old store, kind of more similar to 20 Federal Place, how that was Strauss's. This place is huge. Well, University of Akron got that now. And in the basement, they have their archives and special collections. And they host the Canal Society Archives, Ohio Canal Society, which I joined. I became a student member. I haven't received anything just yet, so I should follow up on that. But they have their archives down there, and really nice folks down there. And they even had an old cassette tape of Canal songs, which hadn't been digitized yet. And I said, I'd really like to hear that. And they were kind enough to digitize it and send it to me. Yeah, so it was pretty cool up there. So anyway, it's going to be spending more time at the YSU archives now on the fifth floor there, because they're kind enough to, you know, we're going to do it through the Applied History Program and feature all the various projects. So I told you all about the architecture project we did last semester, and we had Brooke here as a guest, and we talked a little bit about that. So we'll feature that project. Last year, I was in a practicum class up at Rodef Shalom, the congregation, Jewish congregation up on Fifth Avenue. Now there's a class again this year that is doing an exhibit. And so I'm kind of like, you know, helping them work on that. I'm not technically in the class, but, you know, being involved with the Applied History Program and being a Dr. Leary's graduate assistant, going up there and helping out with that. And also, I don't know if you've ever met him, but Ryan Johnquist, did you ever meet him?
Yeah.
Great dude. And he has a business out of Ward Bakery Building where he can do different media, more print media, like vinyl signs and stuff like that. He's a great graphic designer. He actually got to do something up at the All-Star Game this past week. So they want to do an exhibit up there, and they want to get like portable panels and stuff. And I said, we got to bring in our buddy Ryan Johnquist. Yeah, so he's consulting sure. on them with them too. So we'll feature that project, the Mahoning Movement project, which that will culminate in May as well. So we'll feature that there, the architecture, and the other project we're doing down by the Covelli Center, how that was Brown Bunnell. We talked about that on this, in the show here. It was Brown Bunnell and became Republic. And so we'll feature that project as well. And who knows what else we'll toss in there. But that'll be cool. That'll be on the fifth floor.
So when you're going through these archives and you're honing in on something, are you looking primarily for like government documents or surveying documents? Like what do you gravitate to?
I really been into the whole map thing. Mapping? And geo-referencing old maps and figuring out, you know, using ArcGIS software to, you know, digitize the old map, and it's best when they're already digitized. And Library of Congress is really great about that. I've been spending a lot of time on the Library of Congress website, and they have such great images. Because a lot of times, you know, you find stuff on the internet, but it's low resolution and all that. And then, you know, who knows what's public domain or not, or who right. owns it. But at least with the Library of Congress, it's perfect because it's, you know, public domain, or there might be certain, you know, regulations on some of the images, but it's free to the public. You know, it's owned by the people.
Yep.
It's great high resolution, nice big TIFF files, and they're huge. You know, you get like a 500 gigabyte TIFF file, and but it looks great, and you can zoom in, so it's perfect for when you georeference it in ArcGIS, because you can really zoom in and, you know, layer it up. So that's one of my favorite things to look for. But also, I've been studying up on the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal and looking through, learning more about that history. So that's been interesting. And so, like I said, Western Reserve Historical Society has Law in the Canal, the Canal Archives at the Akron University, and then the Mahoning Valley Historical Society, they have a nice couple canal folders. Other interesting thing is there's two canals that sometimes that you'll come across. And I was a little confused at first. I'm like, well, how they're, this doesn't make sense. Here they're talking about the canal in the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s, when really it was in the 1850s and 60s. So what that was all about is Kerwin, who was our congressman. You know, now we got Tim Ryan. Before that, it was James Traficant. Before that, there was someone, I think, in between. But for a long time, the congressman of the valley here was Michael Kerwin. And that's who Kerwin Reservoir is named after, which is where West Branch State Park is, which also follows the canal, the historic Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal that we're advocating to do a bike trail along. So this other canal that Kerwin was wanting to do was to connect Lake Erie to the Ohio River, but through with a big giant, you know, so barges could go through and all that, have a big giant mega canal that would go right through here. And it almost happened. And I heard that even like in the engineering department, like they dug out more things expecting the canal to go through, but it never ended up happening. And they thought that at least Kerwin's argument was that it would save the steel industry. Cause even then in the 60s, you know, it was kind of like things you could tell the steel industry, they weren't reinvesting in the area and whatnot. So you could tell that things were a little bit going to be on the decline with the steel industry here. So the argument was that you put this canal through here would make it just as easy to bring iron ore and coke right in and export the steel right out. So would that have saved the steel industry? Probably not, because right. the steel industry, they still sold out to larger companies like Likes that drained them of their resources and closed them up. That's the thing, is the steel industry, even though they weren't reinvesting, when it was still profitable here, it's just these larger corporations like Likes that they bought them up and took the money and closed them down. And that was that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so for the canal, I know, and that's when I went up to the YSU archives, I see they actually have a lot of Kerwin's papers. So I don't know how much I'll incorporate into the project this time around about the canal that never happened or whatever, but it is kind of like a little fun little side jaunt that I'll hopefully look into more of the archives there. And
my favorite thing to read is like, I don't know what they were calling. They're not council meetings, but where they open it up to the public and historically that people could just gripe about whatever's on their mind. And I love reading through it because you get to see what they were bitching about 200 years ago, you know, in this country. Mm-hmm. And they use more flowery language and they sound so formal, but it's the same crap we're bitching about today.
It's more entertaining than watching the like anti-vaxxers. Yeah. As opposed to like some school board meeting where anti-vaxxers are yelling at the school board members, you know, but same thing.
Humanity is humanity.
Yep. But yeah, good old spirited public debate. Yeah. But yeah, so looking at the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal stuff there, they do have the records of when they're pitching it to the state house in Ohio to get public funding to build the canals. And so it was like a public private partnership, like they formed a separate company to make the Pinot Canal, but you need the land grants, both from the federal government and the state government, and you need approval and all that. So they were making arguments then about why we need the canal. And You know, and you could tell that railway was in the back of people's minds too, but at that point it was so inefficient that the canal was still the best way to move goods. And more than the railway, the bigger talk was about how dangerous shipping was up on Lake Erie. So you did have a canal already in use. The New York Canal, what year was it? Like early 1800s, I think, you know, 1820 at the very latest, it was already running between Buffalo and New York City. So you had that canal connecting the East Coast to the Great Lakes. But the shipping industry was so dangerous at that point, and it took so long and so much was lost that the argument was that, no, it's safer and quicker to bring it down the Ohio Erie Canal, Cleveland to Akron, and then take the Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal from Akron through Warren, Youngstown, Newcastle, and then you go down the Beaver River and then you're in Pittsburgh. So the argument was that was a lot safer than taking the Great Lakes, and there were so much shipping losses. So that they were more in advocating the canal, they were talking about that more than anything else of how dangerous
it is. We have it so easy, because think about like when they were trying to overcome some challenge, it meant like boring through a mountain or digging out a canal. Now, I mean, you look at our worst problem, and it's not like we're moving major, you know, earth or anything like that. We're so spoiled.
Well, yeah, and the equipment that we have nowadays.
Technology, so, yeah.
Well, the big thing that really changed everything was the steam engine, both for water travel and ultimately land travel before the internal combustion engine, you know. So it was a steam engine that enabled ships, you know, steamboats on the Mississippi and whatnot. That changed the complexity of the Wild West, you know.
Right. And you can think of like things like the river. And I think things happen so much slower now than it does before. Like in the time it took us to remove a dam, they could have dug an entire new river, right? With the amount, the access to the labor that they had and how quickly they were able to execute things compared to now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you go through so many different processes, right? Like Army Corps of Engineers,
exactly.
And like the feasibility studies and all that, which that's another interesting thing about that whole thing up at Cafaro. They wanted to build a whole new facility on the wetlands up there. Did you hear about all that?
I didn't know.
Oh, that was a whole thing. Yeah, they wanted to, so next to Eastwood Mall, they want to do this whole development park that would have been like right along Mosquito Creek. And those are kind of, might not be using the right terminology, but it like kind of like wetlands that they're protected habitat kind of thing.
Okay.
So you build a whole nother concrete thing on top of it, then you're changing the whole ecosystem here. So the Army Corps of Engineers was advocating it, but like it was Warren, Ohio, but they used Warren County, Ohio. And so, anyways, they end up losing the suit. So he actually was friends of the Mahoning River. This is before I became a board member. I was surprised they actually won the case, but they're still appealing and all that. So who knows?
Was that back by like where the baseball stadium is? Is that kind of where they were expanding through? Because I don't know where the river cuts through on there. It's got to be.
Well, it's the Mosquito then leads into the Mahoning River ultimately. But this is like between Mosquito Lake and the Mahoning River.
Gotcha.
But so anyways, that was a whole thing with the Army Corps of Engineers and the whole real estate development thing. And so, yeah, it's a whole project. And then the Army Corps of Engineers also is what controls Kerwin Reservoir, what we were talking about, West Branch State Park. And that's a whole another crazy time to think about just how all those lakes, Berlin, Milton, and ultimate Meander Reservoir as well, that those didn't exist. You know, those are all man-made lakes of damming up the Mahoning. So it really kind of brings to mind how much water actually really flows through here and how we're lucky for that, because with the way climate change is going and the way droughts, like, you know, I've never been to Las Vegas. I'd like to go, but can you imagine? I couldn't imagine living in a place where you're relied upon giant pipelines to bring water in from Canada because you're in the middle of a desert, you know? And same thing with New York City to some degree too, how much fresh water comes through, like, I think like the Catskills or whatnot, but I guess there's this water pipeline that if the water stopped to run through it, the thing would collapse because it's so old. But because the water constantly flows through it, that it keeps it stable. But if it collapsed, New York City could be out of fresh water.
Yeah.
So we're lucky here that we actually have a great fresh water system. And I'm glad at least that the city of Youngstown owns the water supply. And it drives me crazy. Now, even though I have some family members that do this too, but they complain about Youngstown water. It's like, well, they don't complain about the private, you know, you have Aqua Ohio, which also sells water. I've never done an apples to apples comparison between what are people who get Aqua Ohio bills compared to city of Youngstown water bills. But I doubt, I you know, I doubt it's like some, I think it's probably even cheaper rate with Youngstown water than this for these private companies.
Do they source it from Aqua or do they do their own stuff?
They do their own stuff. And actually Aqua Ohio just sold McKelvey Lake to the city. And now there's talk about redoing that, which I think is awesome and I'm excited about. However, number one, I think the city of Youngstown more than anything else needs to fix the whole combined sewage overflow issue. Like, I think it's insane that we dump raw sewage in the river when it rains too much. You know, it's crazy.
I did not know that.
You didn't know that whole thing? Oh, that's the thing. So with the EPA said, you know, you can't do that. You
I didn't know that. How did you get away with it?
It's insane. Vonnie Rogers left Youngstown because of the issue back when he created Mill Creek Park. Back when Vonnie Rogers was forming Mill Creek Park and everything, you know, he built these beautiful Lake Glacier, you know, that creates this whole beautiful thing. And the city, both, I think, Wardman, Youngstown, all of that, like, oh, yeah, but we're going to dump our combined sewage overflow. So when the water treatment facilities, when so much water's coming through, they can't handle anymore, they just dump it in the rivers. So the EPA...
Bad plan. Yeah. That's a terrible plan.
It's a terrible plan. We knew it back in the 1920s, and Vonnie Rogers got so mad he left the city.
Does it happen? Does it overflow often? Does it really?
Yeah. Oh, shit. And that's why Vonnie Rogers left Youngstown because of it. So here we are, 100 years, literally 100 years later, still dealing with the same issue. And the EPA said, you can't do this. And so they've deferred, like, fining the city and whatnot. So that's what, when people talk about this $82 million the city gets, I'd say, number one, put it all towards that if you have to. Like, it's insane. I mean, for the people downriver, too. Like, how irresponsible of a community that, oh, we're just going to dump raw sewage in the river when you have, like I said, the Mahoning flows into the Shenango, become the Beaver River, and then... You know, you think about everything downstream too. So yeah, that's number one, that should not happen. You know, process the filth before.
And let's just say the EPA stops deferring and it could bankrupt your city, right?
Yeah, there could be a lot of fines. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So they're supposed to start resolving that, but I think it needs instantly resolved. It's going
to
take a lot of money.
I don't like talking to you anymore. You bum me out about all the things I didn't know about.
Sorry, I'm
like,
a downer.
I like the ignorance. Like,
well, it's a downer day anyways. It's raining here. We're dreary. The more it rains, the more combined sewage is going in. There we are.
But that is another thing about the flooding some of the communities are having as far as just being able to, you know, drain it off without backing up people's basements.
Well, the Boardman, it's a whole issue. And that's what other thing is, you know, it's not just Youngstown. The problem is, let's say Youngstown does fix it all tomorrow, you still have Boardman. That's a huge issue. And that goes all through Mill Creek Park and everything. So yeah, I think the county needs to do more to resolve it, and the state if need be, you know. But yeah, Boardman, because it's all, you know, that was all kind of like swampy land before too, and everything. You build entire plazas on it, and you know, water's got to go somewhere. And so we're blessed to have a very, what's the word? Hydralicious. Yeah, that's a good one. Hydralicious area. Hydralicious. So we're lucky to be in that area for when, you know, global droughts are happening and whatnot. So we're blessed to have, but we need to, you know, have an environmentally friendly way to control our whole water system, you know. That's the other thing that, you know, going back to, I talked a couple weeks ago about the little jaunt I did riding a bike between Miami and Key West and seeing the canal system. So up here, when we talk about canals, it was a transportation system. Down there, the Florida canals are simply to channel water because it's a big swamp. You don't have rivers and hills with rivers and valleys like you do up here. It's just one big swamp. When it rains, it's just all there. So they built these giant canal systems just for the water to go into. So
to protect our neighborhoods and, you know,
it's all about real estate. Right, yeah. So they built Florida on a swamp as a real estate deal. And that goes back to Flagler too. You know, they built a railroad just right down the coast, but yeah, you got to do something with the water, and the water ultimately wins in the end.
Yeah. Maybe you sacrifice some of the south side and build some canals down there. I don't know. Maybe that's the way to do it.
And there's a lot of land that, you know, I'm always interested going over South Avenue, that park that kind of drops behind, South, so you got Market Street, South Avenue, you got the old field house.
Yep.
That park down there, which the one railroad, which is still active, goes through there, but it's a cool old abandoned park. And yeah, there's a lot of land you could do stuff with.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as to see, maybe we can get the Army Corps of Engineers, someone to say what they even have plans wise, what are the options that these, you know, they're toiling through? Because there's got to be something, but I bet you it's way bigger than anybody could afford, you know.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun to have a Army Corps engineer. Yeah,
you got contacts at the university. I'm sure you can get somebody.
Someone's
got
to know the Army Corps of Engineers. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we're in the Pittsburgh division. And I always like their logo too. It's kind of like two rooks, like two like chess piece rooks. Like it seems like it doesn't seem like a very American logo. Okay. Like it seems like
the
some
crest
kind of British.
Of
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So if anybody out there in the audience knows anybody from the Army Corps of Engineers, we want to talk to somebody who does media relations, maybe even the science people. Maybe we got some surveyors or some people who know this, the math behind this, and can give us some info.
Well, on the Mahoning Friends of Mahoning River Board, there are a couple of science people. They do like water quality testing, so it'd be good to have them on.
Let's do that. Let's try to hook that up.
Yeah, we should talk more about the science role. And like doing this whole project, like I started becoming more interested in the hydrology and like doing the whole map thing where you can actually see how water flows. So I've always been more of a history person than a science person, but it's, you know, everything's ultimately interdisciplinary. So got to follow all the paths.
Yeah, I'd like to take some old-timey documents that, like, I love the Federalist Papers, but it takes me so long to get through them because of how they're written. I'm trying to figure out context because it's lacking and trying to figure out, like, what they're trying to say in some of this stuff. And maybe it's just I'm not smart enough to do it. Or I just
well, that's
don't have
how I feel reading Karl Marx, too.
All right. But we should read some of this and yeah, and see if you, being you know the smarter person at the table, can.
I know that's
out.
Not true. you have a great mind, you know. It's and you think about things logically and systematically. You know, that's you know, you have different forms of intelligence, you know, and that's why I think what's interesting that you need to have different perspectives at the table, you know, and that's what we bring to this show.
That's
you know,
right, exactly. Yeah, you and those of you who have not watched the show from the beginning, Jacob and I, you know, we have a lot of overlap on our ideological, you know, sort of like our preferences and our I don't know, our histories. But there's some differences, and I don't think we've skirted around the differences, had a real good solid, you know, argument, confrontation, battle on some of those. So maybe we'd line something up in the future, take something that not so contentious, something that we can muddle through till we kind of feel each other out. But so go ahead.
Well, I just hopefully Putin's not invading Ukraine right now. We already did invade Ukraine, really, but hopefully they're not encouraging going even deeper in it. That's a whole another thing. But yeah, there's a bunch of problems in the world. But I think
we can solve them though. Like,
we can solve them. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Sure. Yeah. But that's yeah.
Okay.
We just gotta discuss it.
I love you, Jacob.
You too, Joe.
All right, cool. That's good enough. You got anything else?
I think that's it for today. But yeah, all right. So we're gonna find someone out there from the Army Corps of Engineers.
We're gonna fight about something.
My dear friends on the Mahoning Friends of the Mahoning River, we'll have to have someone from that come on, talk about water quality issues, and then we're gonna hit the maybe our audience can say what are the hot button issues that we wanna
and then we'll battle it out.
We'll battle it out. Yeah. In the Thunderdome.
Right. Have a good one, man.
You too, Joe.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we